إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. My dear beloved and respected brothers and sisters in Islam, when we look into our faith, we find great emphasis placed on the condition of the heart. The heart, brothers and sisters, is something that unifies us as a human race. It is also something that divides us. It identifies us as unique individuals. The heart, each and every one of us have it as a human being, and that's where we are unified. And it is that which keeps us alive, sustains our life, pumping the blood throughout our body. But we are divided in the reality of each heart. Each one's heart is different. The heart of the believer, the heart of the denier, the heart of the arrogant, the heart of the prideful, the heart of the strong in faith, and the heart of the weak. This heart, brothers and sisters, it is also the location that brings about communal unity or communal separation. Residing in the heart is the source of our unity or our separation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Imran, when he says, وَذْكُرُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Allah says in this verse, number 103, and remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies, and He brought your hearts together and you became brothers. So the unity that we find amongst our ranks, or that we should be looking for to unify our ranks as people of faith, it is unity that is found in the heart. It is not simply coming together under the banner of being unified. Let's all be together and unite. But there has to be a common source of that unity, and that begins in the heart. If we do not recognize this fact, then we will simply be together, our hearts will be divided, and this will not be real unity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges this fact in the Quran. In Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 14, He says, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. He says, you think that they are all together. You think that they are united, but their hearts, they are divided. This is not long-lasting unity. People from time to time that have differing views and beliefs, they come together for a common cause, and it is short-lived. They come together for moments throughout their lives, throughout their existence, and that unity is short-lived, but the long-lasting unity, it is that which is found in the heart. Brothers and sisters, the heart, it plays a crucial role not only in our unity, but in our lives and our salvation in the hereafter. The heart, it is the control center of our being. It is the control center that dictates our actions. This was indicated by the Prophet ﷺ in authentic narration reported in Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, When he said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. He said, there is a morsel of flesh found in the body that if it is whole, if it is righteous, if it is complete, then the body will follow suit. The body will be whole, righteous, and complete. Meaning we will see the effects of that righteous, pure, clean heart outwardly. And then he said, but if it is corrupt and diseased, then the body too will be corrupt and diseased. أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ. This morsel of flesh is none other than the heart. It is none other than the heart. Brothers and sisters, our hearts, the heart is the seat of our iman. The heart is where our iman resides. The great scholars of Islam, they are unified in this understanding about iman. They say, al-imanu qawlun bil lisan. That faith, it is a statement uttered on the tongue. وَتَصْدِيقٌ بِالْجَنَانِ. And it is a belief held in the heart. وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ. And it is actions performed on the limbs. Outward deeds done. The heart, it is that which contains and holds our faith. And because of this fact, it is one of the things that will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is one of the crucial things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us by. Found in Sahih Muslim, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه يقول قال صلى الله عليه وسلم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا ينظر إلى أجسادكم ولا إلى صوركم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that Allah does not look at your shapes and sizes. He does not look at your physical appearance, whether you're handsome, whether you're beautiful or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge you based on whether you're tall or short, whether you're strong or weak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at your hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. He will look at your hearts, and that is where he will take you to account. The heart. One of the great scholars of hadith, Muhammad Fuad Abdul Baqi, he explained this hadith saying that this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold an account of you. Your heart, that seat of your faith, that morsel of flesh that has led you in the direction of your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to task regarding what was in your heart. It's also important though to keep in mind that our actions are a part of that. The actions that we do are a part of our faith. They are a result of what's in our heart. It's not simply enough to say that we believe. It's not simply enough to claim that we have faith. But there must be some fruits of that faith, as part of it is the actions upon the limbs. And in another narration in this very same collection of hadith by Imam Muslim, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. He says, Allah doesn't look at your shapes, nor does He look at your wealth. When you think about these two things, you will find that these are the two things that we as human beings judge each other with the most. We're not as concerned about the sincerity of the person, for the most part, than we are with their looks and their wealth. Someone that is handsome, someone that is beautiful, they get further in society than those that are less or lacking in that department. Someone that is wealthier, that has more money, more material, they are sought after and popular because of that. This is our standard of judgment as human beings, as creatures. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a much higher and lofty standard of judgment when He says, وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. That He looks at your hearts and He looks at your deeds. Regardless of your shapes, sizes, and wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you by those things. And it is upon this heart that the intercession will be based. Something that we have been discussing previously, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when he comes to Allah Azza wa Jal. All of mankind will come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask for his intercession, and he will go to Allah Azza wa Jal and he will ask to intercede on behalf of his ummah. What do you think he will be looking for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go to those that have been placed by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hellfire wa na'udhu billah. And he will say, go and find those that have an atom's weight of faith in their heart. Go and find those that have the weight of a mustard seed of iman in their heart and bring them out. Bring them out of the hellfire and bring them to Jannah. It is based on the heart. It will not be said, go and look for the most wealthy or the most beautiful. It will be said, go and look for the one whose heart had the slightest amount of iman and bring them out of that place. Brothers and sisters, no matter how you wish to try and look at your life, the heart is king. The heart, it is the king. One of the great scholars of the past, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he says that the heart, al-qalbu malikul jawarih, that it is the king of your limbs. The heart is the king of your limbs, wa sultanuha, and it is the ruler, the sultan. We all know this word. The sultan. He rules over his subjects. Wal jawarih junuduhu, and the limbs, they are his army. Brothers and sisters, this is the control center, the king of our being. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he goes on and says that if the king is upright, and we can see this in reality, so this parable here, or this example should be very clear and very well understood, that when you see a good leader, when you see an upright leader, you will see the fruits in the society. You will see the fruits in the society. And when you see one that is corrupt, one that is diseased, then you will see the disease amongst his subjects. Brothers and sisters, it is the pure heart. It is the pure heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be looking for yawmul qiyamah, and it will be that pure heart that will save you on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. He says, on that day wherein neither wealth nor sons, neither wealth nor offspring will avail except those who come to Allah with a pure heart. Those that come to Allah with a pure heart. Brothers and sisters, this is the challenge that we face as human beings. Each and every one of us as a human being that has a heart in their chest, they are struggling to purify and to keep that heart safe from the test and the challenges that it faces every day and every moment. Those are the challenges of evil, the challenges of our enemy, Shaytan. Brothers and sisters, the heart, if it is corrupt, it will lead you to your destruction. There was a very interesting situation that happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the nature of the heart and the whispers of the shaytan and how easily the heart is turned. This was reported on Anas radiyallahu anhu anna nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana ma ihda nisa'i, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with one of his wives. Famarra bihi rajulun fada'ahu. So one man walked by him and he called the man to come back. And the man said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya fulan, hadhihi zawjati fulana. He says, oh, so-and-so, this is my wife, so-and-so. So the man was, why would you think this? Why would you tell me such a thing? Why would you say this to me? Right? In another narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this wife, it was Safiya radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Safiya outside of Al-Madinah. So the people that were there, some of them would not be aware that he was married to this woman. So the possibility was very real that if they saw him with this woman that they did not know, they would begin to think evil thoughts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walking with someone they didn't know to be his wife. So he called him back and he said to him, "This is my wife so and so." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the man responded the way he did, he says, "Inna shaytana yajri min al-insani majra ad-dam." He says that the shaytan runs through the human, like blood runs through the veins. The shaytan runs through the human being like blood runs through the veins. Brothers and sisters, how does the blood circulate through the body? It circulates through the heart. The heart, the size of your fist, circulates the body's blood supply about 1,000 times a day. The supply of blood in our body, it goes through the heart about 1,000 times a day, pumping an equivalent to 5,000-6,000 quarts of blood. The shaytan is running through us at that speed, at that rate, looking to entice us, looking to trick us and deceive us, looking to draw us away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we keep this in mind, the aspect of heart, the heart and the purity of your heart, and we look at the prophets and messengers. Each one of the prophets and messengers, they had a very unique and miraculous story. And the miraculous nature of their story a lot of times began the very early stages of their life. Some of them at childbirth. When you look at the story of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the first man and the first prophet of Allah, it was a miraculous creation. A miraculous story in that he alayhi salam was created by the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was created into a full grown man. He was not made into a baby where he developed over time, but he was created as he would be, as a man. This is miraculous. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, a child growing up in the home of an idol maker, found his way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a young boy. The story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was put into a basket and sent up the river and was saved and found. The story of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who spoke when he was in the cradle. All things that go above and beyond what is considered normal. They break the norms of the human experience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also had one of these unique experiences in his life. And that began with the heart. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best in regards to purity of heart, as reported by one of his companions, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, قال إن الله نظر في قلوب العباد, that Allah looked into the hearts of mankind, فوجد قلب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم خير قلوب العباد. Allah Azza wa Jalla looked into the hearts of mankind and He found that the Prophet's heart was the best of all of mankind. He found that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart was the most pure out of all of mankind. What does that mean? That means not just normal mankind, but means everyone. The prophets and messengers included in that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also acknowledged the softness of heart the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam possessed. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude, if you had been ill and harsh in heart, then they would have certainly run away from you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of soft heart. He was lenient and easygoing. But a very miraculous occurrence happened during his childhood. When he was 4 years old and in the desert with his wet nurse, Halima bin Sa'biyya, this very amazing story, something more tangible for us, something very real that occurred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal purified his heart. An authentic narration on Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam atahu Jibril صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يلعب مع الغلمان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم out playing with the kids was approached by Jibreel عليه الصلاة والسلام. فأخذه فصرعه فشق عن قلبي. So he took the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at 4 years old, he laid him on the ground and then he opened his chest. فاستخرج القلب فاستخرج منه علقة فقال هذا حظ الشيطان منك. So he opened his chest, he removed his heart, and from that heart he removed a clot, and he said, this is a portion of the shaitan that was in you. He took out the evil, that same evil that is running through our veins, like it is running through us like the blood runs through our veins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at 4 years old, this was removed from him, but it didn't stop. The narration goes on. ثُمَّ غَسَلَهُ فِي طِسْتٍ مِّن ذَهَبٍ بِمَاءِ زَمْزَمٍ. And then the heart was washed in a golden vessel with the water of Zamzam. Some of the scholars of hadith, they say not only was the heart washed, because it says here, فَغَسَلَهُ بِمَاءِ زَمْزَمٍ. Not only did they wash the heart, but they washed the open cavity of his body with ma zamzam. And then the heart was placed back into his chest, and the chest was closed, and the children, when they saw this, they ran to their mother and told them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Muhammad qad qutil, that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has been killed, that he's been murdered. You could imagine if that were to happen. You're out in the open, you're out in the playground, and you see this, someone comes, it looks like they're being murdered. So they went back, and it was this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returned back to his mother. Halima and her husband, they began to discuss what this was and saw it to possibly be a bad omen. And so they brought the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Mecca and returned him to his mother alayhi salatu wasalam. Brothers and sisters, this miraculous event that occurred was a true miracle. This was the miracle that occurred in the after the birth of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a young child. Look at it! His chest was opened by who? Not by Dr. So-and-so, but it was opened by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the leader of the angels. And then it was washed in what? It was washed in a vessel of gold. Gold vessels, brothers and sisters, are reserved for Jannah. They're not to be used in this life. We don't drink from gold cups, nor do we use gold flatware. But that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us in Al-Jannah. And then it was not washed with just any water, spring water. It was not washed with the finest Evian water or whatever you may prefer, the $5 a bottle stuff. But it was washed with the best water on the earth, the water of Zamzam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this very real operation, this was a form of spiritual purity that occurred in a very physical way. And we as people of faith should recognize this in our wudu. Many of us, when we make wudu, we're just washing ourselves, thinking we're just throwing water around and washing off dirt or dust. But the reality is that this spiritual purification is happening at that time as well, not just the physical cleansing, but it is removing sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reported in Sahih Muslim, when Musnad Imam Ahmad wa Tirmidhi an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala, idha tawadda' al-'abd al-muslim aw al-mu'min fa ghassala wajhahu kharaja min wajhihi kull khati'atin nadhara ilayha bi'aynayhi ma'a al-ma'. He says that the Muslim or the mu'min, that when they wash their face, and this is when they're performing wudu, when they wash their face, then the sins that they saw with their eyes is being washed away with that water. فَإِذَا غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ خَرَجَ مِنْ يَدَيْهِ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ كَانَ بَشَطَهَا يَدَاهُ مَعَ الْمَاءِ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, and then when they wash their hands and their arms, They're washing away the sins that were performed with those hands. Here you can see a very physical act of cleaning, but it has a spiritual purification that goes along with it. And this is what happened to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This operation, this cleansing that occurred, that was witnessed, that was very real. It was something that the people would recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being different. As a young boy, he was recognized as being different, and he was being prepared to accept the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that it was done to remove something wrong with his creation, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of the best of creatures. He was the best creature of Allah azza wa jal. But it was done to prepare him to receive that revelation. And this was a sign which indicated his infallibility, that he would not err, that he would not be prone to mistake when conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would grow up out of the reach of the shaytan. And this is what Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah said in Fath al-Bari, explaining these ahadith, وَكَانَ هَذَا فِي الطُّفُولَ فَنَشَأَ أَكْمَلَ الْأَحْوَالِ مِنَ الْعِسْمَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. He says, this occurred when he was a child. And because of this, he was raised. He was brought up and he grew up protected from the shaytan. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيك كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, this story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a young boy of 4 years contains many, many great benefits that we can take away. The first of those, and perhaps the most significant for us as people of faith and followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was his purity of heart. His heart was pure in a way which we will not achieve. It was purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows us the importance of the affairs of our heart, that we are to guard our heart, that we are to consider it utmost, the utmost of importance in our lives, that we are constantly watching the condition of our heart and not letting it sicken and decay. This is something that we do with our health naturally, that we're concerned about for the most part. If we hear that there's a cold spreading, if it's flu season, we go to the pharmacy and we get flu shots. We may go to the pharmacy and begin to stock up on cold medicine before it even sets in. Before we're even sick, some of us, we go buy throat lozenges and medicines and to the end of it. If we know that someone's sick, we won't shake their hand. We'll be weary about being in their company to avoid disease and sickness. We have to be even more worried and concerned about the condition of our heart. The next thing, and perhaps one of the most difficult tasks in this day and age that this story teaches us, is the role of our intellect when it comes to our faith. Brothers and sisters, today the number of open heart surgeries performed in a year is estimated at around 500,000. 500,000. That's an estimation. That the number of open heart surgeries performed in a year is estimated at about 500,000. There are, however, people who seek to deny this occurrence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to say that that did not happen. It couldn't have happened. It's unreal to imagine something like that happening during that time. Or they try to change the meaning to be a metaphor, when there's absolutely no basis for that. You have to understand that when it comes to our faith, to change something to be metaphorical, there must be a precedent set to allow us to believe such a thing. This is absolutely baseless. There's nothing to lead us in this direction. Brothers and sisters, one of the great scholars, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he said, جَنِيعُ مَا وَرَدَ مِنْ شَقِّ الصَّدْرِ وَاسْتِخْرَاجِ الْقَلْبِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ الْأُمُورِ الْخَارِقَةِ لِلْعَادَةِ مِمَّا يَجِبُ التَّسْلِيمُ لَهُ. He says, everything that occurred regarding the opening of the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and any other thing that seemed miraculous and out of the ordinary, It is something that we are required to submit to. It is something that we are required to believe in. دون التعرض لصرفه عن حقيقته. Without moving away from the reality of that thing. Without trying to make it a metaphor or something else. Because there's nothing to indicate such a thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed us with an intellect. And by no means has He given it to us without wanting us to put it to good use. There is a role that our intellect and our rationale has to be played, or is to be played and used for, when it comes to our faith, and that is to find the truth. We are to use our intellect and our rationale to find and discover the truth, and it is not to be used as a source of misguidance. It is a blessing from Allah, and like the many blessings that He has given us, we are to use them in the proper manner, if we are to receive some reward for the usage. But we are not to abuse them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth. We are to use it in a halal manner. Not to abuse it and use it in a haram way. Just like our intellect, it is a blessing from Allah. We can't think that it's from our own power and ability that we are smart and intelligent. This is a faculty given by Allah. So we are to use it in the proper function and manner. And that is to support the truth, to support our faith. Brothers and sisters, this is done in discovering the truth and determining that which is authentic from that which is fabricated or weak. How is that done? It is done based not upon opinion, but based upon principle. To determine whether something is authentic or not, there are principles and rules that the great scholars of Islam have laid down for us. And once we have arrived at a correct determination, a correct conclusion that something is an authentic source of revelation, then we have to submit ourselves. We have to submit our intellect to that, whether we understand it fully or not. Brothers and sisters, our intellect, it is a faculty, like the faculties that we have, strength and eyesight and hearing, and it has a very limited scope of functionality. This is a problem that we're in the age of technology and discovery, and to the end of it, science and medicine. Many people hold themselves that their mind is limitless, that they could go on and philosophize and think over and over. But the reality is, just like the amount of weight that you can lift is the amount of intelligence that you can possess. It is very much limited. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he talks about salvation. Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being in line with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His commandments in the Quran, and he says, وَتَّرِيقُوا إِلَى ذَلِكَ. He says, the roadway and the path to this salvation, الرواية والنقل. It is the narrations and the reports. The narrations and the reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذْ لَا يَكْفِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ مُجَرُّدُ الْعَقَلِ. It is simply not enough to have your own intellect, بَلْ كَمَا أَنَّ نُورُ الْعَيْنِ لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَعَ ظُهُورِ نُورٍ قُدَّامَهُ. He says, just like the light of the eye, it is not seen unless there is some light in front of it. فَكَذَلِكَ نُورُ الْعَقْلِ لَا يَهْتَدِي إِلَّا إِذَا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ الرِّسَالَةِ. He says, just like that, the light of the intellect, it is not guided unless the light of revelation has shone upon it. The intellect, it will not be truly guided and not truly comprehend or understand this world and the objectives of this world unless it has been graced by the light of revelation. So brothers and sisters, I say this as a brief reminder for you. And on another note, ask you to keep those who are ill in your dua. There is one small boy in our area, New Jersey, 3 years old and has already had 3 open heart surgeries. And he is getting ready to go in for the 4th. Young boy's name Adam, 3 years old. So please keep him in your dua. Allahumma shfi maradana wa marad al-muslimin. Allahumma shfi maradana wa marad al-muslimin. Allahumma ashfi maradana wa marad al-muslimin. Innaka qadirun ala thalik wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. إنك حميد مجيد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.